All right, so now it's paper 13.
Lucky 13.
Leonardo.
Thank you. In October, the SB decided to propose amendments to FRS 3 to clarify the guidance on the definition of a business. In Agenda Paper 13, we report the main comments received from Interpretation Committee members on those amendments and provide our views and recommendation for each comment. The first comment relates to the proposal that a set of assets is not a business if the value of the asset acquired is concentrated in a single asset. If this threshold is met, the acquirer does not need to consider the guidance on substantive processes. Some Interpretation Committee members noted that the existence of a process is what differentiates a business from an asset, and so they questioned whether this threshold is needed. We think that the threshold is generally more straightforward to apply than the proposed guidance on substantive processes, because at least in some circumstances, it is less subjective. In our view, the threshold should be particularly useful for asset-based industry. Consequently, we think that the ISB should retain the proposed threshold. However, we need to clarify in the examples that when a building is acquired with an in-place lease, the building and the lease shall be considered as a single asset for the valuation of the threshold. This issue has arisen because US GAAP and FRS are different on this point. Under US GAAP, the acquirer recognizes a separate intangible asset for the in-place lease, while under FRS, a separate asset is not recognized for the in-place lease. Another point raised by some Interpretation Committee members is that the proposal does not provide sufficient guidance on whether and how input and processes that have been outsourced should be considered in the assessment on whether an asset constitutes a business. As explained in paragraph 28 to 32 of the paper, we think that the ISB should clarify that the acquired outsourcing agreements may be considered as providing an organized workforce, and that the acquired outsourcing agreements may be considered a substantive process. We also think that to avoid any misunderstanding, the ISB should explain in the basis for conclusion that when an entity acquires a supplier and after the transaction the supplier stops generating revenues, the supplier is still capable of generating revenues, and so it might qualify as a business if the other criteria are met. Finally, we agree that the ISB should add two examples to illustrate how to apply the new guidance in the financial sector and in the extractive industry sector. Our recommendations are summarized in paragraph 40 of the paper, and in page 12 of the paper, we ask the ISB member whether they agree with our recommendations.
I do agree. I think it's excellent. Just a question, Leonardo. If the building that we acquire has several in place operating leases, not one, so it's a building which has five floors, there are five tenants for the five floors, would then say it's a business because there are more than one operating lease, or would you still consider that it's integral to the building? The amount of management which is required, of course, is more important the more you have different tenants. So the more you need to have processes in place to manage a tenant if you have a multitude of tenants, much less so if you have only one tenant occupying the full building. So does that make any difference? Or?
I don't think that the number of the tenant is important. It's important if there is a process to manage all the different leases. But the number of tenants, no.
So do we agree with the staff's recommendation? Could have done this before lunch. And still had time to spare.
We also have the process paper.
Yes,
13A is the due process paper for the proposed amendments to FRS 3 on the definition of a business. The first question for you is, do any ISB members intend to dissent from the proposed amendments to FRS 3?
No.
Second question is the ISB satisfied with the due process steps required today that relate to the publication of the proposed amendments to FRS 3?
I agree.
Does the SB agree with the comment period of no less than 120 days for the proposed amendments to FRS 3?
Why do we need to have such? It's very limited in scope. It's not that controversial. Why go as long as? Because all this is in response to a relatively urgent demand. So why do we have to take up to 120 days, not 90 days? Or
I think that would be the question. The due process handbook allows for a shortened comment period if it's a relatively narrow amendment and it is urgent. We didn't, in preparing for this meeting, we didn't see that this was sufficiently urgent as to warrant a short comment period. It's being responsive to what we've heard through the post-implementation review, but I don't think that it is something that needs to have a shortened comment period.
I think it would be dangerous to go for a short comment period because a lot of groups find it very difficult to get their comment letters together. That doesn't necessarily depend that much on the length of the document. And I think particularly if they're going to assess whether there are unintended consequences and things of that kind, you're not going to get a good response if you cut the comment period too short. So I certainly wouldn't want to cut it below 120 unless there's a very good reason.
Just trying to work out the timeline for the rest of the process. When do we hope to be able to publish a final amendment?
Final amendment?
Well, the exposure draft we'd be planning to publish in early April.
Early April, the exposure draft?
Yes. Just to allow sufficient time for balloting.
Okay, then so nothing will be published this year. No, we don't. Next year, we will not publish an amendment next year.
No, not on that timeline.
Why urgent?
Well, I mean, it's not that urgent, but there is a big demand for clarification, and it's clear that people are waiting for this. So
let's just go for 120. Mm-hmm. Agree? Agreed.
Last question. Do the staff have permission to ballot the exposure draft?
That's the case.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Leonardo.
Yeah, okay, we'll move on to paper 13B. So paper 13B discusses the transition requirements and the due process steps for proposed amendments to IFRS 3 and IFRS 11 for remeasurement of previously held interest. Just as a reminder, the Interpretation Committee previously discussed some transactions which involved previously held interest, and there is diversity in views on whether those interests should be remeasured or not. So in particular, for the first transaction, which was where an entity obtained control over a joint operation, the Interpretation Committee noted that that was a significant economic event. Previously held interest should be remeasured. Should be remeasured, but the current guidance in IFRS 3 leads to a diversity in practice, and therefore they propose a clarification to the wordings in paragraph 41 and 42 of IFRS 3. Similarly, for a transaction where an entity obtained joint control, where they were previously a party to the joint operation, the committee felt that the act of obtaining joint control was not a significant economic event, and the previously held interest should not be remeasured in that instance. But again, they felt the wording in IFRS 11 could lead to a different conclusion, so an amendment was required. The board discussed this at their meeting in October, and they agreed with the proposed amendment. And we're just coming back to you now with the transition. So the Interpretations Committee has recommended that these amendments be applied to transactions occurring on or after the effective date, so more on a prospective basis. They think this is the appropriate transition requirement because they do not think the benefits of applying it retrospectively would outweigh the cost. And also in the case of obtaining control, they think that the use of retrospective application might involve the use of hindsight, and therefore they do not recommend retrospective application. So first question to you, do you agree with the transition provisions proposed that it should be applied to transactions occurring on or after? Agreed?
Yes. Okay.
All right, I'll move on to the due process question. Do any members intend to dissent from the proposed amendments?
No.
No. Do you agree with the comment period of 120 days? It will basically be grouped with the amendments arising from the definition of a business and will follow the same timetable And it'll follow the same timeline, and do we have permission to start the balloting process? And are you satisfied that all due process steps have been followed?
We are.
Excellent.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.